Good morning, church. So good to be with you all this morning, both those of you able to be with us in person and those of you who are able to be with us remotely. It's good to be gathered together as the people of God. Got a few announcements that I want to let you know about before we dive into our time in the Word together. First of all is that the FCC leadership has made the prayerful decision, just as we continue to move forward in this unusual season, that we're going to temporarily suspend our Saturday evening worship service. We believe that we have room to grow our church through our Sunday service, and so Saturday, August 29th is going to be our final Saturday service for the time being. So we're going to be closely monitoring our Sunday morning attendance in the weeks ahead, and when we get to the point where we're starting to near capacity in this service, then we'll reopen the conversation for starting Saturday service back up. All right, so that's one thing. Another thing is that on Sunday, August 30th, we're going to be reopening kids ministry here. So we're really excited about that. If you are one of our families with kids or one of our kids ministry disciple makers, you should have received some communication this week about that, just with all the details, all the protocols that are going to go into reopening kids ministry. If you didn't receive that information, then just contact the church office this week and we'll be happy to get that to you. But we're really excited about reopening kids ministry and seeing some kiddos that we haven't seen in a while in person here. David sends his greetings to you all. He's away visiting his parents in Kentucky this week, but he'll be back and joining us next week. But this week, I'm excited to get to spend some time with you guys and continue the conversation that we started last week in talking about our church's vision and mission. Now, this is a really important conversation for any church to have at any point, and for every church to have on the forefront of its thinking at any point. But, you know, I think it's especially important that we're having this conversation right now in this unusual season that we're in. Because I think we're in this sort of in-between time right now, right? This in-between time of, we know the world's not going to be like it was before the virus, but we're not exactly sure what it's going to look like on the other side, whatever that is going to entail. So I think it's easy for churches and all kinds of other groups to just sort of sit idly in these in-between times. But we believe that God has called us to continue to live on mission during this time. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and I believe that we're going to get to the point today where our church's vision and mission aren't just statements that are sort of floating around in the air, but that we're going to get really practical with this morning. All right, so to lead us back into this conversation, I want to ask you guys a question. It's a simple question, but I think it's a good one to ask, and it'll help frame this conversation that we're going to have this morning. So here it is. Perhaps. All right, we'll go to plan B. Here's the question. Oh, we got it. Okay. All right. What is God calling us to be and do at Franklin Christian Church as we await the new normal? All right, very simply, what is God calling us to be and do at Franklin Christian Church as we await the new normal? Now, new normal, that's one of those phrases that we've said a lot, that we've heard a lot these last few months, but I think it's appropriate because, like I said, we do know that the world's not going to look exactly like it did before. So whatever that's going to look like, whenever we're going to get there, we're not totally sure. So in that in-between time, what is God calling us to be and do at Franklin Christian Church? Well, to answer that question, I want to go with you all to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah this morning, to chapters 28 and 29. And I think that God's word intersects with our world and with our moment in history in a really powerful and unique way in this passage of Scripture. So I'm excited to walk through this with you guys. While you're turning there, I just want to give you a little bit of context for what's going on in Jeremiah's world here, okay? So, in Jeremiah's day, the big thing that's going on is that most of the people of God during this time were living in exile. So the nation of Judah had been conquered by the nation of Babylon, and many of the people of Judah had been taken by Babylon back to live in captivity in their land. So we could definitely say that the people of God We're living in an in-between time. They knew that life would never look exactly the same again, but they were still anxious for their new normal. They were still anxious to be able to return home and begin rebuilding their lives. They wanted so badly to be able to worship in Jerusalem again. They just wanted to be able to shop in Publix without having to worry about which way to walk down the aisle, right? Man. They were asking a question a lot like we're asking, what is God calling us to be and do during this time as we await the new normal? And I think these people were weary. And I think one interesting thing that happened because of this whole situation, because of their weariness, is that it created the perfect conditions for smooth-talking false prophets to come along with their enticing messages from the Lord. Prophets like a man named Hananiah. I want to tell you about this man named Hananiah, and let's begin reading what his message to God's people was in Jeremiah 28, verse 2. Hananiah is gathered with a great assembly of the people of God, and he says this to them. He says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." So Hananiah had good news to share. He says, the waiting time is almost over, y'all. Pretty soon, your family, your friends, all our most valued national treasures, they're going to be coming back home. So you might as well kick up your feet and relax, because very soon, it's all going to be just fine. Well, Jeremiah, the wise old prophet, he's on hand when Hananiah shares this message, and Jeremiah has a response for Hananiah. Let's pick up with his response in verse 8. He says, "From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true." So Jeremiah, the wise old prophet, he's been around long enough to tell the signs of a false prophet when he sees them. Jeremiah can tell the false prophet who just wants to be recognized and applauded more than he wants to truly stand for the truth of God's word. He can tell the false prophet who's more interested in just getting a closer seat to the king than he is with being faithful to Yahweh. He can tell the false prophet by his words that just sound a little too good to be true and that are always swaying to the prevailing notion of the day and of the room that he is in. So Jeremiah says, "Okay, Hananiah, I hear what you're saying, but we'll know if you're truly sent by the Lord if what you have to say comes to pass." We'll fast forward a little bit, and the Lord appears to Jeremiah, and he tells him, this man Hananiah, he doesn't speak for me. In fact, he is speaking lies to my people. So Jeremiah then confronts the false prophet, and he says this, verse 15, "Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, 'Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year you are going to die, because you have preached rebellion against the Lord.' And in the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah the prophet died." Now, I hope you don't believe that God is nonchalant about people who intentionally misrepresent His Word. People who take the truth of God's Word and twist it to advance their own platform in their own agenda. Han and I have found out firsthand that if you were going to claim to definitively speak on God's behalf, you better be sure that your words align with the truth of God's Word and with His heart and with His character and with His true purposes for the world. In extraordinary times like exile or like a global virus, I personally tend to be very wary of anyone who speaks or who claims to definitively speak on God's behalf, especially if what they have to say sounds too good to be true. So the people, they discover that Hananiah is in fact a false prophet because he passes away. And then the Lord gives a word to Jeremiah, a word to share with his fellow countrymen who were away in Babylon. So Jeremiah writes this word from the Lord into a letter, and he dispatches it to be sent to the exiles in Babylon, and here's what that letter says. Chapter 29, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here it is. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So, to this people who were starving for a word from the Lord, this people who were so weary that the uncertainty of their situation had made them paralyzed, they didn't know what to do as they awaited their new normal, to this people, God does speak. But He speaks what I think was probably a pretty surprising message to most of them. Because they were living in this strange land. They were surrounded by neighbors who didn't know the Lord. They didn't worship Yahweh. But even in this strange place, God says, settle down here. Plant gardens here. Increase here. Don't decrease. And maybe most surprisingly of all, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city where I have carried you into exile, and pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The last thing that most of these people living in exile wanted to see was the prosperity of Babylon. Right? They wanted God to smite Babylon so that they could go home, so that Babylon, those wicked people, right, could get what was coming to them. But God says, no. No, I have a different purpose for this time, and it doesn't look like destruction. It also doesn't look like you sitting up there idly wringing your hands. No, my purpose for you during this in-between time looks like settling down, increasing, not decreasing, and seeking the peace and the prosperity of this city. Let's continue reading in verse 10, and we'll close out this passage with verses 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Jeremiah 29:11 is a favorite verse for a lot of us. Maybe it's even a life verse for some of you. We see it all over the place, and for good reason. This is a beautiful verse. These are hopeful words from God to His people, but I think it's important, not just with this verse, but with all of the Bible, that we don't take one verse out of its context and sort of twist it to mean something it doesn't exactly mean. So I want to go back and I want to read Jeremiah 29:10 with you to put this verse in its context. Let's read this again, Jeremiah 29:10. God says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. So do you get why this whole 70 years thing is a big deal? That means that just about everyone who was hearing this letter read would not live to see this promise fulfilled. That means the vast majority of the people who were hearing this letter would pass away before this promise would be fulfilled. Now, God's promise, His good word, would come to pass. It would be fulfilled, but it wouldn't be in the way or in the timing that His people were hoping for. There was still a hard road ahead. There was still the in-between. But that doesn't mean that this time, this is the key, that doesn't mean that this time was without purpose. Even though they were disappointed that they wouldn't live to see this promise fulfilled, that doesn't mean that the in-between time was without purpose. No, God had given them a clear directive. He had given them a mission for this in-between time, and it looked like living their lives to the fullest that they could in that place. Building houses, planting gardens, increasing, not decreasing, and seeking the peace and the prosperity of the place where they lived. And so God's word intersects with our world and with our moment in history. Because the fact is, church, that we too are living in an in-between time. And there is still a hard road ahead of us before the new normal, whatever that's going to look like, however long it's going to take to get there. But like God's people living in exile, we too have a choice. We can either let the uncertainty of this time paralyze us, or we can choose to use this time to live on mission for the Lord and seek the peace and prosperity of this place that God has called us to live in. I've been inspired recently by a book called God in the Pandemic by N.T. Wright. And in this book, he talks about how the earliest church, the earliest followers of Jesus, whenever they were faced with a crisis, they would frequently ask three questions that would then frame how they as followers of Jesus would respond to this crisis, whatever that was. So I want to look at these questions with you, three questions that the church asked in response to crisis. Number one, where are the most vulnerable? Two, what can be done about it? And three, whom shall we send? All right, so in response to a crisis, the church, the earliest church, would first ask, where are the most vulnerable? Let's identify the people around us who have been most greatly affected by this crisis. All right, once they'd identified some people, that they would ask, what can be done about it? What can we tangibly do as the hands and feet of Jesus to go into these broken places and bring hope and healing? And then number three, whom shall we send? Whom among us shall we send out into the world as the visible, tangible presence of Jesus into these hurting and broken places? So for example, in the earliest days of the church, as they were spreading throughout the Roman Empire, one crisis that they encountered was this cultural practice, this vile cultural practice that's known as infant exposure or infanticide, where people would literally throw away unwanted babies and leave them for dead in remote places. So the church was faced with this all too common practice, and they identified a group of vulnerable people. These people created in God's image in the earliest stages of their life. And they said, these are such vulnerable people, but we can do something about this. So they decided that they were going to rescue these people. They were going to take them into their homes, and they were going to send anyone who was able to rescue these children who were literally being thrown away. They sought the peace and the prosperity of the city that God had called them to live in. And guess what the result was? The church of that time exploded in growth because people couldn't help but notice that something was so surprisingly, refreshingly different about these people who followed Jesus as their Lord. You know, I just want to say this morning that I am so grateful that I'm a part of a church family that has a fire in its bones to live on mission for the Lord. I'm so grateful that I can tell family, that I can tell friends and other people in ministry that I'm a part of a church that has not been idle these last several months. So I just want to thank you all. I want to thank you for all the ways that you have been a part of the mission of God through FCC these last several months. I want to thank you for your hearts for the Lord and for His kingdom. And I also want to challenge you to continue to live on mission for the Lord during this in-between time. You may remember that earlier this year, as we rolled out our Take the Hill vision for the 2020s that David recapped last week, that as a part of that, we rolled out 9 tracks that are a part of this vision. These are just 9 tangible pathways for how you can be a part of our church's mission to know God's Word and experience the Spirit's transformation and advance Jesus' mission. So as we as a church leadership have looked forward to the rest of the year and beyond, we are convicted that these tracks, these pathways must go on. Yes, COVID-19 has changed the way we've had to do some things, but it does not change the fact that the church is called to live on mission during these times. So we want to give you another chance now to say yes. I want to be a part, I want to continue to be a part of what God is doing through Franklin Christian Church. And yeah, we're gonna have to get a little creative in how we do some of these things because of the virus. And yes, we're absolutely going to observe the proper protocols and precautions that we need to, but we have the conviction that the church continues. The mission of the church continues during these times. And so many of these tracks that we're going to talk about in just a moment for the rest of the year are shaped by these 3 questions that the early church asked in response to crisis. Where are the most vulnerable? What can be done about it? And whom shall we send? All right, so I want to talk about some of these, and I get excited about this because this is how biblical engagement and theological reflection on the history of the church begin to touch the ground for us today. All right, now Brian mentioned a few of these opportunities earlier, but I want to touch on these again. So we have looked around and we have seen that we have neighbors who have been made vulnerable in recent months because of the coronavirus who live in senior living facilities. We know about the challenges that our family and friends and neighbors in those facilities face right now, and we determined we can do something about it. So this coming Saturday at 3:00, like Brian said, we're going to invite all of you to join us on the front porch of the Fountains of Franklin, where we're going to sing some hymns. We're going to bring some encouragement notes to the residents there. We've actually discovered that the Fountains has 77 residents in their facility currently. So guess how many encouragement notes we're challenging you all to bring with you this coming Saturday? That's right, 77. You guys are good. That was a good answer. We have some cards that are out in the lobby this morning, actually, that a card-making group at our church has created. So you can feel free to take one or two of those notes home and write an encouragement note, bring it with you Saturday, or drop it by the church office. Okay, we've also looked around and we've seen that we have some neighbors who've been made vulnerable through job loss these last few months. And we know that food banks are experiencing unprecedented demand for their services right now. So so we are going to do another food drive to support the Well Food Pantry and Outreach for our neighbors down in Spring Hill. August 26th and 27th are the drop-off dates for that food drive. We've seen that we have some neighbors who continue to live vulnerable lives because of the tornado that ripped through Middle Tennessee earlier this year. So on September the 2nd, we are assembling and sending a team up into Nashville, another team to do some work to clear debris that was created by the tornado. If you can do some manual labor, that's a great way for you to be a part of this mission. We've seen that neighbors in our community are made vulnerable in areas of health, both physical and mental health. And so we're going to continue to partner with one of our amazing local ministry partners, Mercy Community Healthcare, through their big annual fundraiser, which is called the Franklin Classic. This is a race, a 5, 10, or 15K. If you like to walk, if you like to run, this would be a great way for you to support the ministry that they do. So we have identified some local neighbors who have been made vulnerable in recent times. We determined that we can do something about it. So the question is, church, whom shall we send? Whom shall we send? And I'm going to tell you this morning that I'm looking at the answer right now. Whether you're here with us in person, whether you're watching remotely, you are called to be a part of the mission of God through Franklin Christian Church right now. Whether you can write an encouragement note, whether you can help clear debris or any of these other things, God has called you, and this is the expectation, if you're a part of our church family, to be a part of this mission in this unprecedented time. Now, I mentioned that we have 9 tracks. I don't have time to run through all of them, but I want to briefly let you know about a few more of these because I really believe that these can be transformative for you and your family right now. We've also seen that many marriages have been made vulnerable these last several months because of so many of the factors that go along with the virus. And we've been a church that has offered grace marriage ministry for a few years now. Well, the old way of doing grace marriage is no longer really doable because of social distancing and all that. So we're now, with grace marriage, going to offer, starting this fall, grace marriage at home. So if you sign up for Grace Marriage at Home, you'll receive monthly videos from Grace Marriage that you can do with your spouse. You can watch with your spouse. They'll give you talking points for your marriage, date night ideas for this unusual season, and many other marriage resources to help you prioritize your marriage, to help you build it on the grace of Jesus. All right, we're continuing to offer men's and women's ministries right now. So ladies, our fall women's Bible studies are starting the week of August 31st. They're featuring some wonderful study options from the likes of Beth Moore and Jen Wilkin and Christy McClellan. We really encourage you to get plugged into one of these Bible studies starting August 31st. Guys, our next men's summit is coming up on September the 3rd, and it's going to be featuring a guest speaker that you're going to want to hear. Coach Tim Corbin, the head baseball coach at Vanderbilt University, is going to be joining us to talk about the team building and community building culture that he has built in that Vanderbilt baseball program. You're going to want to be here on September the 3rd to hear him. We're also launching a new young adult ministry this fall that I'm really excited about. There's an awesome team of leaders, of young adult leaders who have stepped up to lead this ministry. We know that for you college age folks and those who are just out of college, this is a hard time to get established in the world right now. And it's so important for you to have some belonging and connection and a place of growth. So later this month, that ministry is going to be launching. We're continuing to disciple kids and students, and we're looking to bring in some adults to help disciple this young generation. We're offering, starting on September the 13th, a 6-week-long, really important study on the biblical view of race. And we're going to talk about God's designs for humanity in this class and the role that we have to play as followers of Jesus in seeking reconciliation. Finally, we're continuing to encourage you to be intentional about knowing God's Word through a Bible reading plan. And we've made some of these plans available on our website. You can go there and read more about them. And you can go to our website, you can go to our app, and you can read more about all of these tracks there. So here's the thing. Like I said, if you're a part of our church family here, this is the expectation for you. And we're challenging all of you to take at least two of these nine tracks for the rest of this year. And when I come to church next week, I want my inbox to have been blown up so much this week that I look at you and say, man, you emailed me 7 times this past week asking about these tracks, all right? I want to be a little annoyed at you guys for how much you email me, for how much you call me this week, wanting to know about how to be a part of this initiative as a church, because this is so important. It's important for our church. It's important for you as a follower of Jesus, for your family, for our community. Knowing God's word, experiencing the Spirit's transformation, and advancing Jesus' mission. That's what we're all about here. So as we continue to move forward in this fall for the rest of this year, we're going to continue to ask that question, whom shall we send? And the answer, church, is you.